Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Hello, America, and happy Tuesday. A lot going on in the world today, but most of us were greeted this morning by the images of a collapsed bridge in the river near the harbor in Baltimore. Yes, a container ship crashed into the stanchion, the support truss, and took the bridge down. A few people have been rescued. I believe 2, 6, or 7 are still missing. Lots of questions so far. The early answer is no clear evidence of an intentional act or terrorism. Now, sabotage on the ship, always something to look at, but it appears that the ship may have lost some power or electricity or capability for steering and sent out a mayday. That's all we know right now. There's a lot we don't know, and this story could change a lot. But what we do know now is that this extraordinary bridge collapse is going to affect the maritime industry, the supply chain in America, the economy that's already inflated and suffering from supply chain woes now has a new pressure on it. The river will be blocked for some time as all of that heavy metal bridge sits in the channels where the ships often cross. So a lot to be sorted out there. In the second part of the show today, we're going to be joined by a former Navy SEAL who knows a thing or two about rescue operations. He was a recovery operations. He did one as a Navy SEAL. Mike Cirelli is going to give us his thoughts on that. He'll also give us his thoughts on America standing in the world. As a Navy SEAL, he fought for this country and he gave it his best. And today, a lot of those special operators, those people who've served in country, wonder, where are our leaders? Why is America so poorly viewed by ally and enemy alike? And I think that Mike Cirelli has some really strong views on this. He wrote a beautiful op-ed not too long ago, got a lot of attention, a very, very important and I think great voice in America today. We're going to kick the show off with Jim Jordan, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee and one of the impeachment leaders in the Joe Biden impeachment yesterday. He disclosed that he's investigating something that just the news broke. Why was Joe Biden giving a speech in December calling for the removal of the prosecutors right after his son's company, Burisma, started complaining that the prosecutors were pursuing it? We now have shown from the documents we surfaced in American records, these are State Department records and other records, that the recommendation to Joe Biden was not to fire the prosecutor or to withhold the $1 billion, which is what he did in loan guarantees. It was to do the opposite, give the $1 billion and keep the prosecutor. And Joe Biden made an audible, as the Washington Post called it. That is a direct result of reporting here at Just the News. We're going to talk to Jim Jordan about that. We're going to talk about what's next in the impeachment phase. Will he get the records he wants from Special Prosecutor Herr, Merrick Garland, not turning him over? Threatening contempt is what Jim Jordan is doing. We'll talk to him about that. And of course, he's at the quarterback for trying to get meaningful FISA reform, something that still hasn't been accomplished almost 5 years after the Inspector General and Robert Mueller raised concerns about the FISA in the Russia collusion case. We'll get the very latest from Jim Jordan, who really is on the front lines of that. Now, a lot of other news, one of them, I think, in the vein of Russia collusion. Remember when Donald Trump was painted as a stooge for Russia, when in fact there was no evidence to that? There was some contrived stories that were made up by Hillary Clinton vendors and contractors and law firms. But at the end of the day, there never was, according to John Durham, any evidence of Russia collusion. And Robert Mueller said they couldn't prove it. Well, another conservative has gone through that ringer. Matt Schlapp, the chairman of the American Conservative Union of CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference. I think now they call it the Coalition, Conservative Political Action Coalition. He was accused of groping a driver during a trip. Today, that gentleman essentially recanted. That driver was a ex-Herschel Walker staffer in Georgia, and he dropped his sexual battery and defamation suit against Matt Schlapp. And he said that the claims he had made in the lawsuits were the result of complete misunderstanding, and I regret that the lawsuit caused pain to the Schlapp family. Just think about that. Neither the Schlapps nor the ACU paid me anything to dismiss my claims against them, Carlton Huffman said. Remember, Carlton Huffman was the accuser of Matt Schlapp, who we have on the show often. Posted on the social media platform X. From the beginning, we asserted our innocence. Our family was attacked by a left-wing media that is focused on the destruction of conservatives, regardless of the truth and the facts. But we emerged from this ordeal stronger as husband and wife, stronger as parents to our five daughters, stronger as friends to those who stood by us. Our faith in God sustained us. Our understanding of what is truly important in life, our faith in God and loving our family and friends, has been brought into sharp focus as never before. We also learned that the left is waging a relentless war against those of us who still hold fast to the principles of America's founding and the liberty that has endured our 248-year history. I think he says something here that's really profound, this next sentence, and something we talk about often on the show and with our guests. The left no longer leaves disagreements on the political battlefield. Increasingly, they have gained a stranglehold on the mainstream media, social media, and the legal system, which they use to try to silence, shame, and bankrupt Americans who have contrary yet correct viewpoints. That is an extraordinary, powerful statement by Matt Schlapp. And we will hopefully get him on the show in the next few days to talk a little bit about that. Another big moment just broke a little while ago on Just the News. The judge in Donald Trump's upcoming criminal trial in Manhattan. Now, this is over the hush money Stormy Daniels case. He has ordered a partial gag order in that case. That's another important one. And on the cancel culture front, another one, Texas AG Paxton. He's reached a deal to have all the security fraud charges against him dropped. Those are security fraud charges brought by federal prosecutors. So Paxton in the clear, Matt Schlapp in the clear. How many times have we seen conservatives endure allegations that aren't sustainable, couldn't be sustained, but by the time they're dropped, so much of their reputation and their careers consumed. I think these are all really pretty amazing stories and ones that need to be viewed, I think, in a larger light. All right, Jim Jordan's going to kick us off. And then, of course, we're going to talk to Mike Cirelli, former Navy SEAL. He's got some really great things. He's also an amazing entrepreneur and philanthropist. He's always working to help others in this country. I'm really looking forward to both men. These are pretty important conversations that we're having in America. And, of course, a lot of breaking news that goes along with it. We're going to take a quick commercial break in a second. Before we do, as you know, I'd like to thank all of our sponsors, our partners, our advertisers. We've got many good ones. We're really excited to have them. One of them is Muzzlestick. As you know, too many people lose their life or injured by accidental shootings every year, many of them children. In the majority of those cases, we learn too often that inexperience with handling a gun played a role. Someone wasn't familiar with the firearm, couldn't tell if it was loaded or not, thought it was unloaded. Getting a quick, easy way to understand the status of a firearm could save lives. And taking an extra safety precaution is an incumbent upon all of us who are Second Amendment advocates. Muzzlestick, my good friends, have the perfect solution. They've created big, bright barrel and chamber flags that let everyone around your firearm know if it's loaded or unloaded. Muzzlestick is not intended to replace the rules of firearms safety. You still got to produce all the best practices. However, the chamber and barrel flags that Muzzlestick produces offer firearms rapid, clear identification, which could result in save lives, particularly with people who are unfamiliar with guns. guns. It's time for you to do everything you can to be a safe and responsible firearms owner. Do me a favor. Head over to MuzzleStick, M-U-Z-L-S-T-I-K, today, MuzzleStick.com today, to place your order. After all, we only have one life to live. We want to be great stewards of our extraordinary, inalienable rights that we have, particularly the Second Amendment. And today, go over to MuzzleStick. They are an amazing company. They've got these beautiful chamber barrel flags. They do the job. It is a minor expense for major safety in your family, your friends, your loved ones, someone you may not even know that might one day encounter a weapon you own. That is good advice. All right, let's take that quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome back, America. Our next guest has been on the forefront of some of the most important accountability investigations in this country, whether it's the weaponization of federal agencies, the impeachment inquiry of President Joe Biden and his conduct, his family's conduct, and the invasion of our privacy from the IRS to other agencies. Congressman Jim Jordan, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, is on the front lines, and we're lucky to be joined by him right now. Mr. Chairman, great to have you on the show.
Always good to be with you, John. Thanks for having me.
I want to start with something that a letter you sent last night. We were lucky enough to cover it here at Just the News. The story of that we were fed in 2019 about the Ukrainian impeachment when Donald Trump was impeached over the Ukrainian context, it keeps changing. It keeps getting worse for the Bidens. It doesn't seem like the Biden White House wants to give you the records that you need to decide whether Joe Biden was acting in the country's interest or his son's interest. Am I right?
Well, yeah, we'd like to know what the prep material, the speech that he gave, because remember the facts here. I always say there are four kind of fundamental facts. Hunter Biden gets put on the board of this Ukrainian energy company, gets paid a lot of money. Fact number one. Fact number two, he wasn't qualified. He told us himself he wasn't qualified to get that position. Fact number three, his partner told us during his deposition that when they're with the CEO of this company, the CEO asked Hunter Biden and his partner, Devin Archer, can you help us with the pressure we are under? Hunter Biden then makes a call to D.C. At one point in his deposition, Devin Archer said Hunter Biden called his father, called then Vice President Joe Biden. That's a key fact. And then 3 days after that call takes place, Joe Biden goes to Ukraine, makes a speech, attacks the prosecutor who's applying the pressure to the company that Hunter Biden sat on the board of and was making $1 million a year. And we think that's it. He conditioned the release of $1 billion of loan guarantee on the firing of that very prosecutor. So we'd like to know that, because that was a change. And this is, I think, key. And you pointed this out in your reporting. That was a change from the stated position of our State Department, that they had actually sent a letter to this prosecutor in Ukraine saying he'd done a good job. They had said we should give Joe Biden should okay the loan guarantee, the $1 billion, and not call for the firing of the prosecutor. And then Joe Biden calls an audible and makes that change. And we want to know what prompted him to do so, because it sure looks like it was the call from his son.
Yeah. Now, you got a briefing from the White House, but not a lot of satisfactory answers. What's the current story that the White House is giving the committee?
Well, they're sticking with this position that, oh, no, it had nothing to do with the fact that this prosecutor was the one prosecutor who was investigating Burisma. Joe Biden called for the firing of this guy because he was corrupt, and it was all about the anti-corruption push from our State Department to Ukraine. And it's like, okay, you can say that, but that doesn't seem to square with the fact that the prosecutor before Mr. Shokin, the one who was fired, wasn't really investigating Burisma the same way Shokin was. In fact, the prosecutor prior to Mr. Shokin had allowed the release of $23 million that was held in a British bank account to go back to the CEO of Burisma. And then the prosecutor after Mr. Shokin, again, Mr. Shokin's the one President Biden pushed to be fired. The one who comes after actually takes Mr. Zolichevsky off the wanted list and clears him of all charges and moves the case off. So the one guy who gets fired is the one guy who is actually doing some investigating of this company, in particular the CEO, Mr. Zolichevsky. So we find that interesting as well. But they will say, no, it was just part of our anti-corruption agenda.
That? Yeah, the same story they gave us in 2019 ever since. But the facts are certainly piling
exactly.
up. Yeah, different direction now. Yeah. Sir, another place where you're getting stonewalled by the Biden administration, the access to the documents from Robert Hur's investigation, a subpoena threat yesterday, likely to happen soon, right?
Yeah, we'd like the audio tapes and the other materials that we think are important in this investigation, particularly when the ghostwriter of the book was interviewed and when Joe Biden was interviewed. Because never forget the facts. In Mr. Hur's report, I think it's on page 231 of his report, he said Joe Biden had strong motivations to ignore proper procedures for handling classified information because he was writing a book. And of course, the key fact is he was getting an $8 million advance for that book. So his motivation for ignoring the rules, the law for handling classified information was the fact he was getting paid. He wanted access to this information, wanted to give it to his ghostwriter for this book that they were putting together. So he deliberately kept and disclosed classified information. But of course, he's not charged because, according to the special counsel, he's a forgetful old man who would appear sympathetic to a jury. Well, if all that's true, then let us know for ourselves. Let us have access to all the information you had, the actual tapes, the audio tapes and the documents that were part of your decision to not bring charges.
Yeah. Is contempt a likely outcome here? Is that a contempt vote potentially on the horizon?
I don't know because I don't think the special counsel has any objections to us having that information. He almost said that in the hearing. You wouldn't quite say that. You know, it's like it's a question for the White House and the Department of Justice. But like, let us see the information because you really can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, no, he shouldn't have said that, and he didn't do anything wrong. And he's also, the Democrats say, and you saw in the State of the Union, the president's up to the task. I mean, If you're going to make all those claims, well, let us just see the information because that's not what the special counsel said. Special counsel said he's a forgetful old man and we're not going to charge.
Yeah.
So let us have the information. But that'll be a call for, obviously the Justice Department, the White House are going to decide that and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. Those important moments in the investigation. There, as we look at the impeachment inquiry, the established behavior of the family, we now know how it went down, what they were doing. It was clearly influence peddling. It seems like a big focus right now is on the cover up and whether there's obstruction and covering up that's been going on for years to try to protect Joe Biden and his family from the revelations. The latest one is this allegation that the CIA tried to stop IRS and FBI from interviewing Kevin Morris. Are we in a cover up phase
Kevin
of the
Morris,
investigation now?
Well, I mean, we want to know because, whistleblowers told us that the investigators were prevented from talking to Mr. Morris. And of course, Mr. Morris is the guy who is giving Hunter Biden all kinds of money. It looks like over $6 million. He's the guy who bought a bunch of Hunter Biden's, purchased a bunch of his artwork, paid a lot of money for that as well. We want to know why he wasn't allowed to be interviewed. But we got to talk to Kevin Morris. But why back when the investigation was kind of right in the middle of the investigation, the early stage investigation, why wasn't he allowed? I don't know if he's some kind of asset for our intelligence services. I don't know if he's, if he's talking to someone who's under 702. So I don't know. I don't know what it is. But we'd like to know because he's an important guy in this whole investigation. We'll have to see. We also want to talk to two of the lawyers. The DOJ keeps from us. We've actually went to court on this. Mr. Morgan and Mr. Daly, two of the lawyers who were a key part of we think stopping the investigators from running this case the way they wanted to, particularly the whistleblowers who Ken Ford, Mr. Shapley, and Mr. Ziegler.
Yeah, those are important fact witnesses for sure. The other day, you and Congresswoman Harriet Hageman sent a very important letter about the IRS and the use of artificial intelligence, potentially combing all of our bank records without any warrants or subpoenas to try to look for tax cheats. This looks like a really serious new area of potential invasion of privacy. Can you tell us what you're learning there?
Well, remember what we've already uncovered in our oversight work is that the banks were giving information to, with a simple request from the government, all kinds of private purchase information and data about their customers, with no warrant, no process, no due process there before doing that. And now we find out that the IRS has sort of bragged about this, saying, "Yeah, we have the capability with AI to look at everyone, you know, their not just their tax information, but into their business and their transactions." And it was almost this arrogance that we saw. And of course, I guess it shouldn't surprise us because we've dealt with the IRS for years and some of the arrogance that the people there seem to have. So we want to know what's going on here as well. And it's only, John, you know this because you've covered so many of these stories and done so much good reporting. It's there's always something. There's always some agency. Yeah. And this is why we have the committee that Speaker McCarthy set up, this committee on the weaponization of government. There's always these agencies that seem to be turned on the very people they're supposed to serve. And so it's this is just one more example. And so we want to get to the bottom of this. And that's why, you know, Harriet and I have sent a letter. And you know how this thing works. You send a letter and then you do another letter. And then at some point you're going to have to threaten subpoena. Then you send a subpoena to get the information. But it's sort of the process you have to go through that the courts kind of want you to do. And so we've started that process.
It's amazing to get the people's business, how hard it is to get it done. But that's, I guess, what these agencies have figured out over the years. One last question for you, sir, because I think a lot of people are thinking about this. There's a deadline coming up in April for FISA reform. You've been on the cutting edge of this and have, I think, one of the most widely praised and accepted reform ideas. How are things progressing behind the scenes? Is there a good chance that we'll see FISA reform in 2024?
We'll get some reform, I think, but the key is, will we get the big reform, which is the warrant requirement, which is what we've been pushing for, members of the Judiciary Committee. And as you know, we had a strong bipartisan vote come out of committee that had the warrant requirement in there. So if they're going to go search what I call this giant haystack of information, and they're going to use John Solomon's email address or John Solomon's phone number, or any American citizen's number identifiers, they should have to go get a warrant from a court. And we've even said it can be the FISA court, but there needs to be a warrant requirement. And that's the hang up right now. There are lots of members who are nervous about that, but there's a bunch of members who know that it's the right thing to do. And let's hope that gets in the final legislation. That's what we're pushing for. And if that gets in, I think it's a reform worth voting for. If it doesn't, I think it's probably not.
All right, folks. Boy, what a great interview with Jim Jordan. I'm thinking about those comments he just made on FISA reform. Not sounding like we're going to get significant FISA reform this year. That's some news. We got to keep on top of that. Many of the promises that House Republicans came in hoping to accomplish kind of flittering away, falling away. And I think a lot of people will have to ask the question, well, why? I guess we'll figure that out. All right, before we go to a quick commercial break, you guys know I've been talking about this all month. We've got a few more days to make a difference. My friends at Alliance Defending Freedom are fighting two of the most important Supreme Court cases this year. That's very important. These are two. One is involving protecting women from FDA regulation. The other is fighting alongside of Idaho to protect its abortion law. In both cases, these are historic cases. They're going to set legal precedent. They're going to make a difference in this country. And ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, is the lead in both. And if you want to fight what feels like lawlessness or ideological intrusion on our rights, on our safety, on our security, on our free speech, on our right to practice our religion as we see fit and choose to do, then you got to get into the fight. Defend your cherished freedoms. And one way you can do that is by joining ADF. Go to joinadf.com/John. joinadf.com/John. You can make a donation of any amount, $5, $10, $25, $100, whatever makes good sense. What we've tried to do with our good friends at ADF is to raise $5,000 by the end of this month. So you only got a few days left to do that. You got the Easter evening on Sunday the 31st. If you want to get in the fight, protect our precious liberties, stand together for truth, ADF is doing that for you. Go to joinadf.com/John. joinadf.com/John. All right, we'll be right back when we come back. A really impressive guy, former Navy SEAL and expert on underwater expeditions, underwater recovery missions. Michael Cirelli will join us right after these messages.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. Want to get back to that story right at the top of the show. The tragedy in the Baltimore Harbor this morning, the Francis Scott Key Bridge dropping into the river after being struck by a large barge. Right now, there's what they say is a search and rescue operation and a recovery operation. It's mostly recovery at this point. Our next guest is a retired U.S. Navy SEAL officer. He's an entrepreneur, a best-selling author. In fact, I highly recommend his book, The Talent War, How Special Operations in Great Organizations Win on Talent. That's a good idea. Joining me right now, Mike Cirelli. Mike, great to have you on the show.
John, thanks for having me.
You know a lot about these sort of operations, diving, looking for victims of a tragedy like this. What's going on right now? What are the sort of things that the dive teams are doing right at this moment?
John, I will get to that. First, I've sort of got to put a disclaimer out. SEALs are good at certain things. Search, underwater search and rescue is not one of our core competencies. I was involved in one operation trying to recover a essential piece of equipment at sea. A group of Navy SEALs and Air Force pararescue spent a total of 8 hours. And at the end of the day, we had to bring in Navy EOD who recovered it within 1 hour. So that said, the people that are truly skilled at this are, the Coast Guard and Navy deep sea divers, as well as Navy EOD. They spend a lot of time in the water and going over search and recovery techniques. But, so first off, let's sort of set for your audience what it looks like from the perspective of the victims that were in vehicles on the river or on the bridge at 1:40 a.m. One, it's dark, it's freezing. All of a sudden, if you're at the height of the span of the bridge, that's 185-foot fall. So most likely a passenger or a driver is going to be incapacitated, if not killed. And then all of a sudden, you're going into the water. 48-degree water starts pouring into the car. While people may say, well, why don't you just break the windshield and get out? That's even for somebody who's trained in this, that's extremely difficult to do. 48-degree water will take your breath away pretty quick. And ultimately, if you look at, what we call the hypothermia tables, within 30 to 60 minutes, if you do have an air pocket in the car, you're at exhaustion. And then after 60 minutes to 3 hours, unfortunately results in death. So the divers are one, probably it's a combination of local, state, and federal agencies. I'm assuming Coast Guard and Navy are now involved. They probably sectioned off the horizontal distance that the bridge covers into grids. They are utilizing sonar. That's the best technology or technological advantage you bring to recovery at sea. And then they're using a circular grid or zone search method to make sure that they don't miss anything. The complexity here is the river is influenced. And what do I mean by that is, you've got tides. And don't underestimate the power of the river.
It can move stuff, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that makes it much more complex. And we've seen this even with bodies, where at a point of incident, a drowning, that body will be found 10 miles away when they finally recover it 3 days later. So it's a bad situation. At least it's daylight right now. But from what I've seen, and I'll end here, the depth of the Patapsco beneath the bridge, I saw estimates of as deep as 200 feet. Now, remember, they probably have to dredge that for container ships in their draft. As you see, the container ship that actually hit the stanchion, that offers complexity for divers. And you've got to take into account the safety of the divers who, if you understand these men, the only thing they're thinking about is recovering these people. Even their own safety sometimes is moved to a secondary concern. But as you get into deeper waters, nitrogen narcosis becomes a concern for the divers as well.
Yeah, it is pretty remarkable. I've seen some of these teams, they've gone in other situations, and they really don't think about themselves. They are so driven by the mission of trying to bring someone home to their family, even in tragedy, that you're right, they do put themselves in danger without even knowing sometimes. So it's really important that they keep an eye on each other and work carefully. There is, obviously, when first people see something like this, like, oh, that thing is going right towards the stanchion and it hits it. Right now, they're saying no evidence of terrorism. These big ships, if they lose control, they can become a pretty big weapon pretty quickly, right?
So from what I understand, there was a power loss on that container ship. What the audience and those not in the maritime industry understand is that the organic crew of that vessel is not at the helm, so to speak. That's where harbor pilots who are trained to bring these container ships out to sea and back in board the vessel and actually are in control of navigating that ship through the harbor. When you lose power, I mean, it takes a long distance for one, these vessels to stop, and two, to turn it with any, I'd say effectiveness. You're talking football field after football field to get it to move even a few degrees without power.
Yeah. Yeah. It becomes just, it's a monstrosity just moving in. Of course, even if it loses its own propulsion, the river's dragging it in a direction. It just picks up, I guess, some form of momentum when it hits. These harbor pilots are usually pretty well trained, but once you lose navigational control, right, there's not a whole lot you can do except radio for help, right?
You're right. So these harbor pilots go through a ton of certifications. I mean, years to become a harbor pilot. Then they have to go through annual training. They are well-versed. It doesn't seem like foul play is a cause here. And I can guarantee that the National Transportation Safety Board is on scene right now investigating. They have primacy.
They're working it.
They have primacy because this is in U.S. territorial waters.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Is it unusual for ships like this to lose power? I mean, it seems like it's such a big ship. You'd think they'd have some auxiliary systems or something. But is this what do we know about that sort of occurrence on these big freighter ships?
It is an occurrence, not a usual occurrence. You know, I had my 100-ton license at one point. I've been out of the Navy for about going on 6 years now. But, these ships are floating cities, and it comes with complexities. And while there are auxiliary systems, sometimes, there are very few fail-safes.
Yeah, that's the thing. They are big. I think this one, they said, can hold 2.2 million gallons of fuel alone. That's just the fuel container, not mentioning all the cargo. That is a big ship and a lot there. I'm going to pivot to something else because you've written some very powerful op-eds, and I think people look at this moment in history and they see, all the stark warnings from our intelligence chiefs and the FBI that the border's open, we're unsafe, it seems like we're waiting for some tragedy to happen because of the amount of penetration into the country. Then you look around and you see, ISIS-K is reestablished in Afghanistan. The war in Russia and Ukraine goes on. We don't seem to have a whole lot of say in its success. Israel is attacked by Hamas and we're sending a mixed message. It seems as though foreign policy and security policy are so muddled for most Americans. Like they can't tell what it is our objective is. How big is foreign security, national security going to be in this election? Normally we're an economic first country, but this one feels like the world's coming apart. And a lot of people will be thinking about that when they go to the ballot box.
You know, if I had to put it down for this election to three sort of primary focuses, is one, the economy, two, the border, and then three, you know, sort of our international foreign national security and defense, all of which are just a mess right now. Ultimately, you know, I was born and raised in San Francisco, in the Bay Area. My family's been there since 1899. Beautiful city. Right now, it's a mess. And this is not dissimilar to California in the sense that it's happening at a national level. Bad leadership equals bad policies, which equals bad outcomes. And, you know, you brought up the intelligence community, which I have. If you've ever met intelligence professional, you've never met more dedicated people in your life that live with a sense of purpose. Some of my intel analysts, even in Afghanistan, on average read 500 pages a day of intel to synthesize.
That's heavy.
to give me actionable intelligence to say, hey, sir, I think you guys need to go take down this target and explain why. So for them to predict the next 9/11, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. And right now, this administration, and trust me, as an American, I want every president, whether I voted for them or not, to do an exceptional job. At the end of the day, we're one team, one fight. And it doesn't seem like society is that way anymore. You're either blue or you're red, and we can't find a common ground. But to make the intelligence community's job tougher with the current border policies is like handcuffing one arm behind their back and then eventually handcuffing both. And I would not want to be in the intelligence community because everyone points their finger once an attack occurs. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not their fault.
Yeah, no, it's not. And the talent in the intelligence community is extraordinary. I mean, I've met many of these men and women, and they have such gifts, and it's a different way of thinking than the most of us when we approach our jobs. Intelligence is really a lot of intuitive deduction after all the experience and knowledge that you process. But policymakers and the talent at the policymaking level can really side rail all of those talents in a few moments at the intelligence crew level. Are our allies confused by us? I know our enemies are, but are our allies, I think our enemies actually probably see some advantageous moment here to take advantage of this. Our allies seem to be more confused than I've seen in a long time.
I would say our allies are very concerned. You know, I saw an amazing YouTube video with Henry Kissinger before he passed and Ray Dalio. And basically Henry Kissinger said that, you know, we can never maintain our economic primacy globally. Countries would eventually catch up, like China. But we always had primacy of leadership, and we've acquiesced that. So, you know, we've got to be careful about the narrative we put forward to the world. Whether you disagree with one side or not, sometimes you keep your displeasure within the family. We're not doing that anymore. And of course, our enemies, and we do have enemies, they're going to maneuver when we are a house divided. So I'm starting to lose faith that we can reverse this and become a united nation again. And I always go back to 9/11. Whether you're left of center or right of center, if you remember back to those times, in tragedy, we put those petty differences aside and we come together as a nation. One, and I hate to say it, I don't want to have a tragedy like that again, because 3,000 Americans lost their lives. And think about all the loved ones who lost those members of their family. It shouldn't take a tragedy to remember who we are, and that we will always have a set of problems. We will always have differences, but there's got to be civility in the way we conduct ourselves. And in the national capital region, where we expect our leadership to be the best, to set the example for the nation on how to conduct themselves, we're seeing the exact opposite right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Real quickly before we go, you do so many amazing things, from your entrepreneurial work to your charitable work. Legacy Expeditions, it's hard to not mention your name without mentioning that. It's such a really cool idea for people who haven't heard it. What does Legacy Expeditions do?
So you know, I did okay for myself in the business world, and that's great for self-gain. But I will always, part of my DNA will always be just based in team. And I loved being part of a tribe within the special operations community. I've never felt anything like it. And ever since I've gotten out, I've never felt anything like it. So we get the guys back together around extreme adventures like skydiving into Everest. And the most recent one was skydiving into all seven continents in 7 days.
That's an expedition.
That's an expedition. The international community said it couldn't be done. After 18 months of planning, we went and tried, and we succeeded doing it in 6 days, 6 hours and 6 minutes on commercial. We didn't even have a private jet. We set 4 world records. And here's what we're proud of. Each continent we jumped into, we jumped in honor of one of the fallen service members that somebody knew on that team. And we've got a documentary that's going to be released this May in theaters. So for a documentary to get picked up for theatrical release is rare.
That's huge.
Huge. And it was directed by Dan Myrick. If that name doesn't ring a bell, he's the famed director, producer of The Blair Witch, which broke every record and probably will never be touched. And to get a famed filmmaker to come out of retirement to do that, because he feels a sense of purpose to tell the stories of the fallen, let's just say I owe him big time. I think people will, they'll laugh, they'll cry. They are heartfelt stories surrounded by adventure and just a great group of guys. And we're excited to release that in May. And I hope it does well. And what well to me means that people remember the names of these fallen, because if usually you go up to somebody and say, hey, name a soldier that was killed in Iraq or Afghanistan, 99% of Americans can't do it.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, well, that will be an extraordinary accomplishment to burnish into the memories and minds of every American, these brave heroes that we've lost over the last many years. Mike, you are really an amazing person. I know you may have changed jobs over the years, but you have never stopped serving your country. And we are really grateful for that service. You make us smarter, wiser, and prouder every day, even in a divided country, boy. When you see what you do, we're reminded of what makes this country so great. You're right at the heart of that.
Hey, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Thanks for your time and your expertise. I really appreciate it. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages to wrap things up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. Keep an eye out. We're going to have a lot more news tonight and tomorrow. But until then, let's keep an eye on justthenews.com. We'll be bringing you all the latest developments from Baltimore with that tragic accident. We'll have a lot of new information. And tomorrow, we're going to have a very powerful story about another illegal alien. This one, a DACA recipient, then deported for criminal behavior, gets back into the country, not going through normal means, appears to be a gotaway entry, taking a life in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're going to have that tomorrow with my good colleague, Stephen Richards. Stay tuned for that. It's a very powerful story at a very powerful time in the immigration debate. We'll have that on justthenews.com by the time you wake up in the morning. All right. Also, real quickly, if you want to help ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, with its big Supreme Court cases, the case fighting for your freedom of speech and freedom of faith, go to joinadf.com/John. joinadf.com/John. That's a very important thing. We're trying to raise $5,000 by the end of the month. Go jump in. Every little bit helps. Also, if you want to help out Muzzlestick, my good friends at Muzzlestick are doing amazing work. They really are. They're saving lives. Go to muzzlestick.com today and place your order. All right, folks, that wraps it up. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. Until then, God bless you and have a great night.